Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. My great-great-grandfather owned and operated a circus out of Delavan, Wisconsin in the mid-1800s. And I'm always intrigued by some of my ancestors and the lines of work they chose. But in this case, I've collected some circus stories over the years. There's a story about a little boy at the turn of the 20th century who lived far back out in the country. He had reached the age of 12 and had never in his life seen a circus. So he was excited one day when a poster went up at school announcing that on the next Saturday afternoon, a traveling circus was coming to the nearby town. He ran home with the news and said to his father, "Daddy, can I go?" The family was extremely poor, but the father sensed how important this was to the boy. So his father gave him the dollar admission charge. It was the most money the boy had ever seen at one time in his life. Well, the next Saturday, as the boy got to the outskirts of the village, he noticed that people were lining the road. So he worked his way through the crowd until he could see what was coming. And there, at the distance, approached the spectacle of a circus parade. It was the grandest thing that the boy had ever seen. There were caged animals in brightly colored horse-drawn wagons. There were marching bands, clowns, acrobats, and jugglers doing their thing. There were elephants and tigers and monkeys and horses. Finally, after everything had passed by where the boy was standing, a circus clown with big floppy shoes, baggy pants, and a brightly painted face came up at the end of the parade. As the clown passed where he was standing, the little boy reached into his pocket and got out that precious dollar bill that his dad had given him. Handing the money to the clown, the boy turned, walked through the crowd, and went home. What had happened? The boy thought he had seen the circus when he had only seen the parade. He didn't know. He just didn't know. That sometimes happens in our lives, too. I thought about this story on Tuesday when some of my family, including two grandsons, visited the great Minnesota get-together, including the 2 o'clock parade. Before our family arrived, Lori and I spent a great deal of time sitting on a bench observing the people, which is always fascinating. And then I got to experience the fair through the eyes of my 2.5-year-old grandson and the joy that he was experiencing. I have several friends who can't believe how much we enjoy the state fair. In fact, we enjoy it so much that we usually go 4 or 5 times per year. Yesterday was our 4th and possibly final time. They never attend and have mostly negative thoughts about it. No appreciation of the fun, the festivity, the fellowship that we experience at the fair. It's one thing to say that a certain kind of experience isn't your cup of tea. It's another to denounce it with such disdain that it's a criticism of everyone else who enjoys it. It's easy to miss the circus, to experience some of the pleasures of life, but to miss the fullness and the joy of all of life. There are times for all of us, I know, when for a while the joy goes out of life, but in some people's lives, the joy seems to be gone for good. They become critical, bitter, and cynical about life itself. We've all known people like that. So how do we keep the fullness of joy in our lives? How do we see both the parade and the circus? As I have observed all different types of people enjoying the fair, being outdoors, enjoying the blue skies, the beautiful weather we've been experiencing the last few days, being with friends and family, all contribute to the kind of joy to which our faith calls us. We all need those kinds of days because life is hard. For me, having fun at the fair is a reminder that life is good and that life is a gift. Maybe that's why the Bible speaks so often of joy. From beginning to end, Scripture urges us to rejoice. Psalm 98 urges us to make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises to God. In our scripture reading this morning that Pastor Freeman read, the Apostle Paul urges us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. From start to finish, joy is at the center of biblical faith. We are created by God to enjoy the fullness of life in relationship with God. Joy lies at the center of that relationship. We're meant to enjoy all of life, both the parade and the circus. What is the ultimate source and nature of this joy we are meant to experience? Paul's words in Philippians speak to that question. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your goodness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's remarkable is that Paul wrote these words from prison. Joy is the primary theme of Paul's letter. He mentions it over and over again. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what the circumstances. Why? Because the Lord is near, always close by to those who call upon him. So don't worry about anything, but pray and give thanks to God in all circumstances. God's love and care surround you. You can trust God's goodness. The result of that trust, Paul says, is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Joy, as biblical faith understands it, isn't affected by external circumstances. Joy is rooted in faith, trust in the living God, and it leads to peace. The joy of which Paul speaks transcends our outward circumstances. Joy is born of trust and confidence in the God who will see us through the darkest and toughest times. God will be faithful and present to us, working ultimately for good in our lives, no matter what happens. It's always interesting when I'm in a conversation on an airplane or in a social setting, and I reveal that I'm a pastor. I often get the response, I'm spiritual, but not religious, usually meaning they don't do church. They may go on to tell me the things that they don't like about the church, or they've been wounded, or that they encounter God at the beach, or maybe on the golf course, or in the mountains when they're in the satisfying company of the one who never disappoints them, themselves. What saddens me is that how easy it is to become disconnected from the vine. We miss the fullness of God's joy. Like the little boy standing in the crowd at the circus parade, it's so easy to take the precious dollars of our lives and settle for the parade rather than the real thing. We try to be spiritual from a distance rather than fully alive with the joy and the love of Christ in our lives and in this community. We settle for less than a desire to grow in faith and to do God's will in our lives. So again, I'm glad that you have chosen to be in church here this morning on this Labor Day weekend, or to be listening as part of our online congregation. So whatever gives you joy this weekend, gathering with family and friends, enjoying the beauty of one of our lakes, or enjoying a Pronto Pup or Sweet Martha's cookies at the state fair. As people of faith, we do it with the deep and abiding awareness that this is far more than just the pleasures of human life. As people of faith, it is about our love for God's creation and our love for others to which God calls us. So come to the parade and stay for the circus every day of your life. Take these words of the Apostle Paul with you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.